Erev Tov, Rabotai. So we are. We started last week, Shara Sheni, page 27. So now he's going to get into the principles of how a person can really awaken himself to do tshuva. The first paragraph was just an introduction, a very poetic one, actually. I love how Rishonim write. It's inspirational. First of all, you see that they mastered Tanakh. They mastered Shas, and they have it like all in their... Thank you. They're not sitting there like with Otsara Chokhmah, like for every line that they're writing, like trying to find the Pasuk in Tanakh. You know, we do that. We write backwards, so you try to find... You want to write, and you want to include Pasukim in Tanakh, so you search for it. They were so ingrained in Tanakh and Shas and whatever that every time they wrote, it just spilled out of their pens. You know what I'm saying? Shtabach Shem. Now, it says like this. Haderech HaRishon. Kasher timtzena et ha'ish tzarot. Bar minan, if a person has tzarot, and guess what? Nobody's immune. Everybody has their own, I told you in Yiddish one time, you know, pekel is? Yedreina midzan pekelah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody pekelah. That's what they throw at the chatan. Yeah. Why is it called a pekelah? Because it? You never been to Ashkenazi bar mitzvah or offer or whatever? Where they do sekila on the chatan. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Candy.
Yeah, no, but we just have individual candies. Ashkenazim have like boulders, you know, they have like the RPGs. Anyway, the kitzur, minhag yafem, minhag nachon. It's to be mechabev the Torah. And one time I saw in Shelot Tshuvot there was a rav who wanted to discontinue candy throwing in a shul. He wanted to discontinue, and the posek wrote him back. He says, "Don't do that. It's minhag Yisrael Torah." It's it shows the children the sweetness of the Torah. And it gives the Kaan, excites them about what? About the fact that he's getting Aliyah LaTorah. So why would you want to discontinue them? What else? Candies?
I've heard a couple of Syrian schools, they don't throw the candy. They just sing like cut one or two songs and
that. No, yeah. So anyway, so he says, again, wherever they had the minhag, yeah, otherwise no. Now, anyway, so he says, if a person bar minan has tzarot, yashiv libo v'yomar, en ze ki im darko u'ma'alalav asher asu ele lo. V'chata'av olelu l'nefsho. Person has to realize, the Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Nun Aleph, brings down a machloket, whether yesh yisurim belo avon. Machloket, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu send suffering without avonot? And the Gemara says sometimes a person will. Sometimes Hashem will. A person will get it if it's Yisurim Shel Ahava.
Without what?
Yisurim Shel Ahava. Avonot. Like Averot. Will Hashem send suffering if a person doesn't do Averot? But at the end of the day, if a person's suffering a lot, he has to realize that he's liable. He can't just say, yeah, everything is Yisurim Shel Ahava, Yisurim Shel Ahava. Hello, buddy. Focus on your Averot. A person has to realize that there's midah keneged midah here. And look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu always punishes also very, very particularly, precisely, for a person to realize where he went wrong. V'yashuv el Hashem v'irachamehu. And by having these thoughts, a person will remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ka'inyan sheneemar, umtza'uhu ra'ot rabot v'tzarot, v'amar bayom ahu, halo en al ki en Elohai bekirbi metza'oni ha'ra'ot ha'ele. You know why all of these bad things are befalling me? Because Hashem is not with me. Hey, wait a second. Why wouldn't Hashem be with me? Gee, why? Because of the Averot. Person has to realize that as a result of the Avonot, we drift apart from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the biggest punishment in the world, is when we drift apart. Above all the other punishments, the distance, the lack of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the worst. That's the worst. And Hashem just sends all the other punishments just to remind us of that, you know, the disconnect. And it's really terrible. The tir'e. Very good. I like this one. Which one is this?
This is
Fred. He says, yeah, he knows. We have a system going on. Anyway, b'kitzur, I can't, caffeine at night doesn't do me good. So I have to have only this is non-Persian tea. Aval, mechila, slicha. Huh?
Juice.
Yeah. A Persian tea is like black, you know, but caffeinated. I'll tell you a story. One time, This one you're going to like. When I came to Eretz Yisrael the first night, when I was there recruiting for yeshiva, so I met with a few bachurim on the first night, right off the plane, mamash right off the plane. I went to change, and I went straight to the Bet Cafe. So there were guys over there, and most of them were Persian, from L.A. No, I don't remember the names, but they're most of them for Medrash. Anyway, so it was very funny. So after we started playing, Persian Jewish geography and stuff like that, so I told them a story. Like, I didn't know so much about Persians. I told them, I'll tell you a story. I said, my father's best friend growing up, I'd say 50, 60 years ago in Israel, almost everybody was immigrants, Israeli born was very, especially Ashkenazim, they had just come after World War II. I mean, earlier than that, but even by the Sfaradim, most of the Moroccans and Persians, whatever, most of them were immigrants. So my father grew up in a very immigrant community in Cholon, in Israel, and one of his best friends growing up was a Persian fellow. Now you have to realize that Israeli Persian and American Persian are like very, very different. So they grew up together, and he was a very funny guy. His name was Mr. Kafash. Anyway, Bekitzer, so he, what, where's that from? What city? Mazen? No, no. Huh? Oh. So Isfahan? Mazen. Okay, top. Anyway, Bekitzer. So he comes over to visit us in New York one time. And my father told me, he's like, watch, we're going to make an experiment. I said, okay. My father, Yishtabach Shemo, happens to be a very gifted chef. He does most of the cooking in it. Like many Moroccan men, he's a very gifted chef. He cooks a lot. Mr. Kafash came and visited us. Shalom. Achnasat Orchim served him mamash, a beautiful meal with, appetizers and soups and meat and zin. But bedavka, my father didn't serve rice. No rice. And potatoes and, farfel, like all sorts of stuff, but no rice. So, and you can see, I'm like, he told me, like, watch him during the meal. He's a little bit uneasy. He's like, lo yored. Anyway, at the end of the meal, it's time for dessert. So there's cakes and fruits and cookies, vizi. Aval bedavka, no tea. You see where this is going? So this guy turns to my father. He says, Tagidli. Tells him in Hebrew. And he has like this look. Parsuf tisha be'av on his face. He's like, Lama ta sone oti? What did I do to you that you hate me? No rice, no tea equals hatred. That's what he he's like, Lama, I gave you, meat and potatoes and cakes. And, it doesn't matter. It's a kol batein, brachan vatanako. Sounds accurate? So, I said in the morning, the Rosh writes in Masechet Shabbat, we're talking about weekday, but even Bnei Yisrael adukim b'mitzvat onik Shabbat. Am Yisrael is very, very, very protective over their mitzvat onik Shabbat. That's why you'll never see any Aydan Am Yisrael trade off their cultural foods of Shabbat. You don't touch that. Why? Because that's part of the mitzvah. It's part of Shabbat is, for one guy, Shabbat is his gefilte fish. And for another guy, Shabbat is his mezeh. And for another guy, it's his gondi. Kol echad im ha-shabbat shelo. That makes a Shabbat. It's part of the mitzvah, part of the onik Shabbat. Yeah? Now, that's why sometimes when you have Sfaradim and Ashkenazim getting married to one another, something that gets a little complicated because you got to find your balance in the Shabbat. Mazeh Shabbat. No, Mapito. Lama ta omer kacha? You don't do gondi on Shabbat? Vaday ma ata. Azov oto. Ze bachur tov. Now he says, Bekitzer.
I think everyone in this room is Persian.
We're all Persian by association. Anyway, Bekitzur. So he says like this. Listen. V'tirei b'minhag basar v'adam. Look how human beings work. Ki echeta ish le'ish. U'be'ay tzerato yitcharet v'ikana elam yipnei shu tzarich le'ezrato. Let's say I do something wrong to somebody. I did something really bad to someone. And then something happens bar minan, and I'm really down in the dumps and I need his help. What am I going to do? It's going to cause me to surrender. It's going to force me to apologize, even though I may not want to, but the fact that I need him now you're going to come back crawling on all fours. When I come to apologize to my friend, how's he going to look at me? You're not really sorry. You just need me. It's cheap. He says, oh, okay. I'm sorry. You know, he knows it's fake because he knows I'm only saying it because I need him. Ka'inyan she'amar Yiftach told the Ziknei Gilad the same thing. You remember Yiftach? They sent him away. You remember, it's from Shevet Menashe. They sent him away anyway. Umadua batim elai ata kasher tzad lachem. They needed him. He was a military genius. They wanted him to be the general against Canaan. So they came back. They said, can you help us? Whatever. So what did Yiftach tell them? You chased me away. Now you come back to me because you need me. Which means you feel cheap like that. Huh? And he says, Umechazdei Hashem Yitbarach. Now again, can you imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated us that way? Every time we have a tzaran, Mechazer b'tshuva, what could Hashem say? You don't really love me. You just need me to save you from the tzara. But look at the tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even teshuvah that comes from a person be'ait tzara, Hashem says, come, I'll take you. No hard feelings, no guilt, nothing. Hashem says, bo. It's a yofi. And Hashem says, I send you the tzara to be chozer b'tshuva. Even something that to human perception would have been considered cheap and insulting, Hashem says, I'll take it. That's what I want. That's what I wanted. Can you imagine? Is it? But all of them are not. So he says, "Umachzdei Hashem itbarach shu mekabel teshuvah mitoch hatzara, utihil ratzon lefanav, ve'yehav nedava et achote b'shuvo adav b'yom tochecha mikerev tzara." Obviously, we've spoken about this many times before. Teshuvah me'ahava is exponentially more powerful. Teshuvah that comes out of love, no tzara, no nothing. Person has, an epiphany one day, and he says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I sinned and I didn't act well. Please take me back off. Vadai. But even if the teshuvah is from a situation of tzara, Hashem says, I'll take it. Yeah.
To be fair, Hashem's the one saying this around the
person. Why do you think he did it?
Because one sin.
It's kind of a vicious cycle.
And Hashem created us to be people that aren't perfect.
Yeah. He gave us the Yetzer HaTov too. And a Torah, and mitzvot to keep us in line. Like the pasuk says in Kohelet, "Ha'elohim asa et ha'adam yashar." Kadosh Baruch Hu created us straight. V'himma v'kshu cheshbonot rabim. They look all, all the mess ups in the world. It's all us. It's not Hashem. Hashem created the world perfectly. Hashem created us straight. So we have to continue on that path. We veered off. We took detours. Uh-huh. Now, she'ne'emar shuva Yisrael ad Adonai Elohecha. Ki chashalta ba'onecha. Return, Am Yisrael, return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you failed in your sins. Hashem says, even though I know you're all sinful and whatever, I'll take you back. Kechui machim devarim v'gomer. And how does the pasuk end over there? You know when we say this, by the way. Shabbat Shuva. It's pasuk in Hoshea. It's in Shabbat Shuva. That's why it's called Shuva Yisrael. Right before Yom Kippur. Irpam meshuvatam. Hashem says, I will heal their iniquities. Ohavim nidava, I will love them generously. Nachon? Amit. Ohavim nidava katu. Irpam meshuvatam, ohavim nidava. Hashem loves us unconditionally. Hashem's love for us is always overflowing. Shtabach Shemo, no matter what we do, tamid ohev otan. Shtabach Shemo. Lech leshano. He says, V'neemar, ki et asher ye'ehav Adonai yochiach, uch'aved ben yirtzeh. Whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, you give musar only to people you love. People always think that if you get musar from them, then you have to... Now, that might be true. In a generation like today, we're very critical because we're trying to get the one-up over people, We're trying to show people and whatever to give it to them. But between father and son, when your father gives you musar, when you're a child, it's very hard to understand that. When you're a teenager, it's even more difficult to understand that. But when you grow up and you become a father, you realize that all the times your father gave you tochacha, it's not because he wants to stick it to you. Elama. Because he loves you. Not only that. If the father didn't give him musar, then what would that be? Shlomo HaMelech writes, Chosech shivto soneh beno, he hates him. That means he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Lech, ta'aseh mashta rotzeh. The father takes time and he says, Beni, my son, do this, don't do that. This is good for you. That. Now, obviously, don't get any ideas. Even when you're a father, you have to know, giving tochacha to your child is an art. There's a book called Make Me, Don't Break Me. It's a good parenting book. I don't know if you ever, when it comes to the time. I'm always, by the way, a very big fan of reading Torahic parenting books. Marriage books and parenting books, even when you're a bachur. especially when you're a bachur, because then you're in it, you know, extracurricular, and I'm saying on your own time. But it's good to get, you know, marriage books. They have all these things, art scroll and all sorts of other things from Talmidei Chachamim and with Hashkafot Tovot. You have to know. It doesn't mean just because you're a father, boom, you're like this, you're like, sometimes that can be abuse. Bar minan. Elama, be'ahava. But don't just think that somebody who gives you tochacha, afuch, it's because he loves you. That's them. V'im lo yashuv ha'ish midarko ha'ra'a b'yom ra'a. Like many of us, if a person doesn't get the message of the tzara, now don't forget, tzara is only a wake-up call. Hashem does not want to give us tzarot. Tzarot are only there to wake us up and to tell us to do tshuva, period, dot, end of story. I think Hashem wants to do betas, chas v'shalom. There's a pasuk in Echa, mipi ha'inyon lo tetzer ra'ot ve'atov. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the epitome of good. We messed it up. What happens if a person does not heed the call? What happens if a person doesn't get woken up and he's not chozer b'tshuva as a result of the tzara? Then what? Be'uchach b'machov ve'lo shav ad hamakehu. Keeps on getting hit and he doesn't get it. You know what's interesting about dogs? Take a stick and you hit a dog. What does a dog do? He starts attacking the stick. Why? Because a dog doesn't have the sichin to understand that there's somebody who's wielding the stick. Even if he sees it, he realizes only what hits him. He gets hyper-focused on the stick. Avad zakelev. He has to realize that somebody's you know, wielding it. That being said, you have to understand, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us a tzara, we get hyper-focused on the tzara, that's for sure, because it hurts. But don't forget who sent it. The Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, the Chazon used to say the same thing. You know, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Alav Shalom, I'm sure you've heard a lot of stories from Rabbi Shmulevitz, but Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to be the Rishiva, the Mir Shiva in Yerushalayim when they were under Jordanian bombardment. There were bombs and stuff during the Six-Day War. And many times they had to go to Miklatim and stuff like that. One time, they were in a Miklat. You know what a Miklat is? Like a bomb shelter. And they were learning. Yeshiva was learning. And there was bombs outside. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz kept on learning. So some Talmidim asked him, said, Rebbe, Rishiva, how do you just continue to learn like that? It's pachad mavet, you know, it's very scary. He says, I'm not scared. He says, every bullet has an address. So does every bomb. The Chazon Ish said the same thing. Everything, every bullet, every bomb, every shrapnel, Yonah Navi taught us best. Tried to run away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, L'shem Shamayim, what happened? Caught up with him. You can't run, you can't hide, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to do Ishtadlut. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu has everything tailor-made, perfectly mechuvan, for what a person deserves. That's what it is. Yigdal avonov yuchpal oncho. If a person does not wake up from those wake-up calls, that makes the onish even worse. Hashem says, I started with small tzarot. You didn't get the message, bar minan. Hashem erachem. Halo tireh, im ha-melech miyaser et mi asher chata lo, ve-lo yivaser, yakshem usaro v'yachbid olo me'od. Let's say a person's in jail, and they put him in jail for a certain crime, and he's expected to be, you know, to show, yeah, you want to open the window?
How many
8 more minutes. It's the weather here, the temperature in this building is like potluck. It's and every day is kasheh l'da'at. I told him, weather is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's practical joke on the world. You ever realize that? It's pasuk in Tehilim. As you can probably tell, I like pasukim. There's a pasuk in Tehilim, perek bet. Yoshev b'shamayim ischak Adonai l'aglamu. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a wonderful sense of humor. What's the weather? Every time, you go get this big coat because it's freezing outside. The next day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it 60 degrees in the middle of February. They say global warming. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzochek. He says, why? Because it's supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be freezing. Winter, there's a cheshbon of how everything's supposed to be. Nachon? Hashem says, Efa cheshbonot. Or Eli Hashem used to call the weatherman, the meteorologist, Nevi HaShekher. He said, Nevi HaShekher, Ma Atam Yodim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, Hashem controls the world. He can make it freezing in the middle of the summer. He can make it boiling in the middle of the winter. Kadosh Baruch Hu misavev et kol hasibot, yishtabach shemo. And he says, if you put a person in jail, what happens if, you know, he's not you know, not cooperative in jail, what's the next step after jail? Solitary, right? You know what solitary confinement is? They put him in his own room and they put him in, you know, fetal position, all these torture things. Why? To break him. Lehavdin elef afei avdanot, Hashem says, don't make me break you. V'chein katuv, pasuk, in tochacha, of bechukotai. How many places in the Torah does the Torah give tochacha? Two parashiyot. Efo? Bechukotai ve? Kitavo. Efe. What's the difference between them? What's the bigger difference? Parashat Bechukotai is worse. It's Hashem speaking first person. Hashem saying it himself. Parashat Kitavo is Moshe Rabbeinu saying it. B'Shem Hashem. It's more in Kitavo, but it's harsher in Bechukotai because it's all from directly from Hashem first person. As opposed to Kitavo, Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Yakecha Hashem, Mishchem. Hashem should do this, Hashem, which means he's saying Klisheni. Now, V'chen Katuv, V'ad Ele Lo Tishme'o Li V'yasavti Li Yasera Etchem. Hashem says very clearly, if you don't get the point, if you don't get the message, you don't wake up, there's more where that came from. V'ne'emar V'chanfe Lev Yasimu Af Lo Yeshawe'u Ki Asaram. Those people with blocked hearts, they're not going to call out to Hashem when Hashem hits them. You know, it's a very, very big musar for all those people who think that the Torah is some sort of, you know, just fluffy, pots of gold and rainbow, you know, feel-good text. Apitom, the Torah is derachel derachin oram, it's beautiful. But guess what? In the Torah itself is the epitome of sachar va'onish. The Torah is the guide for life. Torah is minashon hora'ah. Hora'ah means a guide, lehorot, to guide us on the proper path. In the Torah, Hashem says, this is the path. There are two paths. You have a choice, but I'm urging you to choose wisely. Take the right choice, because if you choose wisely, you get this parachot and that parachot. And we read it every day. We read a mini Sachar Va'onish every day. Where? Kirat Shema, Parashat Vayim Shema, Vayim Shema, Tishma, Mitzvotai, Shema, V'natatim, Taratzechem, V'itoron, Akosh, all sorts of things. And then what? Yishamiru Lachem, Peniftar Vachem, V'satim, V'altim, V'charaf Hashem Lachem, V'asarat Hashemayim. Hashem says, every day, three times a day. First we start off, Kabbalat on Malchut Shamayim. Achon Shema Yisrael. Then what? Ahavat Hashem. V'yichud Hashem. Then, Sachar Va'onesh. And we end off with, Yitziat Mitzrayim. That's how we round off. That's Kriyat Shema. Every day Hashem says, don't lose sight. It's not all fluffy. It's not all fun and games. It's not all, you have to follow the right path. It's beautiful if you stick to the right thing. But you can't just do what you want and assume that everything's going to be fine. It's one of the Yudgim Alikarim, those who don't believe in Sachar Va'onish, in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring to justice all those who do Averot and handsomely reward those who do the mitzvot. A person doesn't believe that, he's a kofir. Or if a person just believes in reward and not punishment, no, positive thoughts, positive energies, yeah, only good karma. Mazepo. Yesh Sachar, v'yesh Onish. There's Tzadik and Rasha. Yesh Gan Eden, v'yesh Gehinam. You have to understand, the world is built in that way, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The person doesn't believe that, kofir mamash. I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, a tradition that he got from his Rebbe and he got from his Rebbe. They tell their children, I didn't, because I don't know why I did, but I didn't. But the Kabbalah in his family is that they start teaching children from 3 years old that Gehinam burns. They start teaching to them about the fires of Gehinnom from 3 years old. And that doesn't mean necessarily that the kid grows up traumatized. The kid grows up with a feeling, Yirat Shamayim, to realize that there's Hashem in the world. As opposed to many people today, they grow up thinking, you know, do whatever I want. You can't do whatever you want. Baba. Yeah, you know, like sometimes, I just work here. I can't make, we just work here. We work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all working towards Hashem's heavenly plan. But we're all a piece of it and we all have to do our part. That's the Rabotai. We'll continue Bezat Hashem next time. Thank you all for coming. Tomorrow we'll finish up the series on Basar Sheni Ta'alim Na'ayin, and Thursday we'll again be Musar. Nice to see you all.
What's that?
Huh?
What's
that?
What's
that? What's that?
Thank you.